from some American white supremacists. So he said, I don't know. He said, I doubt it. He said, this is ancient, very ancient in our scriptures. He said, we are told that the god Rama got angry with your people because they wouldn't obey him. And he took the sun disk and he flung it over the heads of Africa, of the African people. It said, and when he flung it over their heads, the sun came so close to them that it burnt them black and shriveled up their hair. So I told him, I said, well then, what did God Rama do in southern India to make you so black? I said, how come your face got so burnt and your hair didn't shrivel? Actually, our color consciousness, this racist color consciousness that we have, blacks and so-called whites, our so-called blacks and so-called whites, we inherited this really from religion. And we don't know what we're talking about. Long ago, people got off the track. They got into the wrong translation or interpretation of the meaning of black and white for society, for the religious society that presented the world with these terms. Actually, black meant darkness, spiritual darkness, the absence of understanding. When one is without understanding, he's in the dark, mentally in the dark. So ancient people of scripture, they use the term darkness to represent the absence of understanding, you see. And later, because these people who didn't have religious understanding were people without guidance, without religious guidance, they came to be called sinners, you see, the sinners. And sinners began to receive the stigma black too. So, you know, in theology, the Satan is the black. The Satan is called the black angel, the black angel. This black and white terminology, to really clear it up and get our minds free of black and white color consciousness, we should go back to religion, to ancient religion, to theology, and see how these terms came down to us, to our present generation. In our colors, black, white, brown, whatever your color may be, there is nothing at all unless your mind began to be influenced by some idea you have received. Now, you got people who actually think that their white skin is divine. They think that Almighty God marked them with whiteness to identify them as excellent, supreme, superior people. And then you have some black people, too, who have taken on the idea of black supremacy or black divinity, who feel the same way about their blackness. But you know, when we actually study ourselves and admit the truth that we see in ourselves and know of ourselves, we know that there is no definite superiority in any color. Certain people, because of their social history, because of the way they have lived, the kind of things they've had to do physically, the geographic location or makeup, the conditions that they had to come up and live under, for generations and generations, conditioned them or trained them to withstand climatical conditions that people who weren't raised up in that climatical area are not conditioned for. So you find that black people can stand more sun, more heat of the sun than most Caucasians. But also we find that the Caucasian, he has the superiority that his environment, that his native environment gave him. Because most of us can't stand the degree of cold that the Caucasians can stand, you know. Races have come up with all kind of crazy explanations. Now, I'm not saying that there's absolutely no difference between the colors. Certainly there's some differences. You're black and a man is pale, you see. So there is a difference. And you came up differently, so you are different. But take the same colors and put those colors in the same environment and raise them up together, and you'll see that the children begin to lose the distinct superiorities, so-called superiorities, that they had before. And that is because the human being, like animals, plants, adapt to the environment. And if you live in an environment long enough, your nature prepares you to live comfortably, reasonably comfortable in that environment. I made a trip to Guyana in 1967. It was 1970. And believe me, I thought I could stand the sun. I had never had any problem with the sun in the United States. I have been on the beaches all day long. I've been outside playing ball, working all day long in the sun, in the hot summer. When I went to Guyana, that sun taught me some respect. I'm telling you, look here, I frightened my wife when I came back home. She said, you look funny. She said, you don't look like yourself. That's how dark I had gotten. See, and my eyes are kind of brown. They're not dark, they're kind of brown, you know, medium brown. Sometimes they look light brown when the sun is in. And she said, your eyes look so funny. All the black skin, your funny looking eyes sitting there. So, I said, well, this is good. I said, maybe I can convince some of these people around here now that the sun is the black paintbrush. And if you want a good blacking, you can sure get it if you get in the right spot on the earth where the sun is beaming directly. Those rays, I'm telling you, they're terrific. I used to say as a young man, look at those Caucasians trying to get a tan like us. See, they can't get a tan. They have to put all the oils on and do this and do that. Look how they peel, skin peel. They have to apply those oil to keep their skin. Do you know how it peels? I'm telling you, I thought my whole head was going to change. Believe me, I started scraping up, doing the comb to see if the skin under the hair was coming off. I actually peeled. The skin just peeled off. That's how bad I was burned. Now, there were Guyanese brothers down there that weren't bothered by it at all. And Indians, they weren't bothered by it. It didn't bother them at all. They were used to it. But me, I got burned up down there. I've never been burnt like that before. I was in Arabia once, and the sun was very hot there, but it didn't make me feel. And I'm telling you, the sun is very hot in Saudi Arabia, too. Very hot. But I don't know, it's something about Guyana, that area down there, is different. Now, in order for us to really get free where we can really make progress, Our brothers and sisters don't have much problems. Very few sisters have a color problem. It's mostly the brothers. Our brothers are going to have to stop thinking of themselves as animals. See, that was a trick of the Caucasian slave master. They wanted us to think of ourselves as animals. They had already introduced us to their society as animals. And they brought our people over here from so-called Africa into slavery. They introduced us as a brutes, beasts, you know. Be careful of these things. They're gorillas. They'll tear your head off, you know. And they exaggerated our sexual powers. I wish they really knew the truth. They stopped making all this fuss, you know. I watch TV programs sometimes. Some crazy racist bigot on TV talking about the Negro, he is. Like, he's an animal. He's like the ape, you know. He has unusual sex powers. Hey, what a man talking about? I'm eating all these wheat germs and stuff around here. What? They have to explain something to me. I don't know what happened to me, you know. And I find that my black brothers, they're not necessarily super spooks either when it comes to sexual potency. I've worked with them. The deepest hues, black hues, you know. I've seen them complaining. In fact, they've asked me on the job. See, look, I've been taking this here. You say, what do you take? So we have to really save ourselves. And to save ourselves, we have to come out of this animal mentality that slavery produced in many of us and stop thinking of ourselves as physical things, physical people, and think of ourselves as human beings. Your color is just an accident, you know. You could have been any color, but what you are inside is more important because you have to live with that. You can't change that. Your mind is your mind, and if you don't do something about it, it's going to destroy you. But your color can't do anything, can't harm you. You can live with your color. You know, the Holy Quran says that God made us nations, tribes and families, nations and tribes from a male, a pair, a single pair, a male and a female. You know, the Bible teaches us, too, that all people descended from one ancestry, male and a female. So the Holy Quran and Bible tells us that people are one nation, one race, really. Holy Quran says the people were one nation, or one people, until they became divided and separated and became tribes, nations and tribes. If we understand the wisdom in the Quran, we will grow stronger as intelligent beings, intelligent people. The Holy Quran is telling us that these distinguishing features make it possible for us to identify each other. When you see a black-faced man with woolly hair, you know he didn't come from Europe. You know he came from so-called Africa, right? So we can know each other and identify or recognize each other by the features. And that's the importance of that. The Holy Quran says that's God, that's God, pardon me, made us nations and tribes so that we may know each other, not that we should despise each other. So if we study the blackness and the whiteness of the people, we'll see that each has his own superiority. Each has his own superiority. And each man should be proud of his own identity. Almighty God, he willed that we come up in a climate, in a part of the world that contributed this makeup to us. So we should be proud and thankful to God for what he has made us. And we are only inferior if we think we are inferior. And racist people want the race that they are contending with to think they're inferior. And the Caucasian races, they're so clever. When they see you getting away from racism, then they'll start even praising you for your racism. They'll start respecting you. Say, yes, sir, we like you because you're like us. You believe in what we believe in, that God made